All right, our last guest from All of Our Feelings at Once, Miss Rebecca Lozier.
My dad, his name is Jeff, he is 60 years old, and he's been best friends with Lou since they were both 14-year-old freshmen at John Brown High School in Queens. And their other best friend is Rich, and they met him in college. And back in the 70s, like right after college, they all kind of wound up marrying each other's like siblings and stuff. is, I guess, the short version of that story. So my cousins and my brother and I are basically the product of like a sitcom, like clicky coffee house that like married itself. My family, what more can I tell you about us? My family is really into vices. Everyone either really likes to drink and talk about it, or smoke weed and talk about it. And when we get together at parties, that it all happens, and people talk about drinking and making cocktails and brewing beer and all that. And really, the only kind of vice taboo that we have in our family is cigarettes. And so. Really, only at family parties you'll occasionally hear someone being like, "Hey, by any chance, do you have like a cigarette? Do you want to go outside for a second? Oh my God, yeah, I could really use a cigarette." You know, so we'll have like groups of two or three people out on the porch sneaking cigarettes while other people are hitting a bong like 10 feet away, just openly. So in May, my mom and my aunt threw a party for my dad and Rich, a joint 60th birthday party at my parents' home on Long Island, and everyone was there. It's a very, very small house, and just dozens upon dozens of aunts and uncles and cousins and family friends descended upon this house. And Lou, of course, was there. And Lou is very, very cool. He's also 60. He's just the coolest. He knows more about current music than anyone does, than anyone younger might. He always starts a big, giant conga line at every wedding, and he does it with this mix of winking irony and genuine glee that is half hippie, half hipster. So we're having this party, and after a while, the cousins, we all go into the office to smoke some of my brother's weed. It's really, really strong weed, and even people in the family who don't smoke know that it's super strong weed because they can see us. And we're in there for a few minutes, and we hear a knock on the door, and Lou opens it up. And he goes, "Got room for one more?" And we go, "Yeah, of course, man." And he's carrying a martini glass that is empty save for one damp twist of lemon zest. And so we all smoke a little bit. We pass it around. And then we go and join the party. And 5 minutes later, I'm in the kitchen, and I hear a crash. And Lou falls down. He's down on the ground, and he's wearing sunglasses, and I can't tell if his eyes are open or not. But he's down, and a few of us kind of start freaking out and go, Lou, are you all right? And then slowly he starts to move, and he says, "Oh, I thought the chair was over there, and I sat, but there was no chair." Mm-hmm. And okay, all right, it's all cool. And a couple people were freaking out a little bit, but they calmed down once they saw that. So about 10 minutes go by. I'm in another room of the house, and the party is still happening. And my cousin Lee runs in, and she goes, "Call 911. And I know instantly what has happened. And I get my phone, and I dial 911, and everybody else. She goes, "Everyone has to call 911. Everyone starts calling 911. And we start to hear, like, screaming and crying. And we run past the kitchen, and he is down on the ground. There's, like, 10 people hovering above him, just, like, looking. And about 10 of us go out on the front lawn, and we're all on our cell phones just walking around. And each of us is getting the same message from the 911 dispatcher, which is, "Okay, we already got, okay, yeah, we have an ambulance coming to that address already. We already heard, okay, all right, 60-ish man, yeah, all right." So they had been inundated with these calls from us. And at this point, you know, there's 20 people hovering around Lou in the kitchen, and I'm outside. Those of us who have called, we're all outside, just shaking. We don't know quite what's going on. And before I can say to Morgan, you know, ask her if there's any chance that she maybe has a cigarette, she goes up to my brother and she goes, "Look, no one, everybody knows that this is not your fault, but you gotta hide your fucking drugs because there are cops coming." So he does that, and just then a cop car pulls up and an ambulance pulls up, and the cops start coming out of their car, and they've got everyone has tools and big baggy things, it seems like. Everyone's bulky. Like Transformers walking into my house. And there's EMTs, and they're pulling out the stretcher and the wheelchair, and there's, you know, 15 to 20 people crowded around Lou, and I'm just outside, and I don't want to be just another person in the kitchen not doing anything, so I kind of sneak around out to the backyard, and the people in the backyard have no idea that any of this is going on. There is, like, a medical/legal crime procedural happening 20 feet away. Because I would like to remind you, this is not a big house. This is a very, very small, small, small house. And I would like to say, I think that is basically the greatest party hostessing feat that my mom and my aunt could have ever pulled off. It was amazing. It was, like, just there's all, like, this shit going on, and then we run back. It's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's, like, the craziest. So I go inside, and I don't really want to be involved with the chaos, but I don't want to be useless, or I don't know. And my cousin Morgan, she is being awesome, and she is galvanizing people and organizing people. Okay, are you sober to drive? Because, you know, the ambulance is going to take him, but we need more people to take his family into the car. You know, we need cars to follow them to go to the hospital. And are you sober to drive? Okay, are you ready? Because you're going to go in there, and she's organizing it. She's on fire. I pick up the dog just to keep him from attacking anyone or, you know, yipping, and kind of do one of these cartoony backtrack things up the stairs in the kitchen, because I don't know how many of you have ever been really, really stoned in your childhood bedroom while cops and EMTs and your entire extended family are all crowded around. But you might want to just grab a poodle and hang on for a bit. So that happens, and as the EMTs are coming in, they're, you know, and there's crying, and there's, you know, because people are like, if you're freaking, we're freaking out, we don't know what's happening. They start putting him into the wheelchair, and you know, the stretchers are coming, and they're trying to get into the kitchen, but there are too many people hovering around. There's now 30 people just hovering around staring at Lou. And even one of the EMTs goes, oh, yeah, because we don't got enough people in this kitchen. That's what we need. We need some more people in this kitchen. So they even are like, come on, guys. So we eventually we get him all loaded in, and in the interest of honesty and for just medical reasons, his wife, who's a nurse, says, okay, he had a bit to drink. He also smoked weed. And according to my father, later the guy, far from arresting anyone, just did one of these. Just kind of rolled his eyes because there's another baby boomer who thinks that he can keep up with the young kids. So they take Lou out, and he goes to the hospital, and we find a couple people who can follow, and fortunately the story is very anticlimactic in that he's fine. He was dehydrated and apparently had gone for a run that day, and it was hot, and had not eaten breakfast, and had like two drinks, and so that will happen. And it is a very anticlimactic story, and for that, as a storyteller, I apologize. But the reason that it occurred to me to talk about this incident when the theme is full hearts is that, you know, my family may be weird, and we may be very embarrassing in a lot of ways, and I certainly think it's quite embarrassing that that Morgan had to, that in a party, she had trouble finding a single 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60-year-old who was completely sober enough to drive. These are all embarrassing things. These are all terrible things. But I have to say, I think for myself, if I make it to 60 and I'm still very close with my high school best friends and I am still doing too many drugs at their house parties and passing out as a result, and I have 15 people calling 911 on my behalf and hovering over me, I think I'm okay with that.
Thank you very much.